Okay, and welcome back. It's Wednesday, and I guess much of America is trying to pick itself up and thaw out. A lot of stories of people being found like a popsicle in their car, dead. This Polar Express came roaring down. I guess it's still active in various areas, and the temperatures were really phenomenally low, and it had no mercy. This was another man-made horror that didn't have to be, but it's part of the game. Dane Wigington is without question one of the key players on the surface of this planet, trying desperately and diligently and wholeheartedly to warn people, and has been for years, to warn people that they've got to wake up and at least understand what is being done to them, or they have not a prayer in hell of getting through this. It's not going to happen. And his website, geoengineeringwatch.org, is without question, should be on your daily list of places to go. Look at his brilliant documentary, The Dimming. Understand that's just one aspect of weather manipulation, weather control, weather modification, whatever you want to call it. It's artificial, it's synthetic, and it is being done to kill people. Ultimately, that's what the game is. This goes hand in hand with the other exercises in that arena, such as the spike protein injections, which we know now are Department of Defense biological weapons. Simple. Never were intended to be vaccines. Couldn't be vaccines. Nothing to do with vaccines. They're weapons. Anyhow. All right. Dane is out there, outside, and I may have written the day down wrong, but he's very graciously with us right now. Where are you, my friend? And what are you doing?
Hello, Jeff. Hello, no worries at all. I'm always glad to join you. Grateful for all your work. I'm actually on the north side of a mountain looking at the haze that's clouding up the moon, the constant spraying. We were just blanketed down here today, and it's truly profound that people don't seem to miss the total lack of blue sky, the completely science fiction-looking skies that we have now.
Yeah,
obviously from jet aircraft emissions, and it is truly a profound time. But Jeff, yes, you're correct. Winter Storm Elliott, absolutely, positively engineered from start to finish. It's not speculation. We can follow these activities on satellite imagery. We know exactly what they're doing. It's parallel patterns. Has been for a number of years now. We know it's in the snow. We're testing it. Climate engineering elements, aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese, polymer fibers, graphene, surfactants, there's no question. This is ongoing. No question.
When this was a big deal, Elliot. This is not a small little ripple. This is a major onslaught, a polar express. I don't know where the term bomb cyclone came from, but it sounds a little overdramatic to me. Not that the storm wasn't overdrawn.
Yeah.
They're desensitizing people to hyperbole is what they're doing.
Yep. Yep. Exactly right. And this, the reason I think they went so all out for this scenario, we know they're losing ground on the overall thermal energy buildup on the planet. They time this for the holidays for maximum impact. It's also the winter solstice, so the sun's the lowest in the horizon. It's their maximum opportunity to try to create this. As the sun begins to rise in the horizon, it's much more difficult for them to carry it out. Jeff, have you seen the degree of warm-up that's expected for the East Coast going over the first of the year? Have you seen that?
No, I haven't looked at it. Tell me, what are they doing? What are they planning?
Well, they're going from the deep freeze to temperatures that may be record high. So again, the degree of weather whiplash here should be a glaring red flag to anybody who's even slightly paying attention that something is radically wrong. And again, to have climate engineering on top of all the other damage done to the planet is a death sentence for us. The planet can't respond to the damage done on its own. It's being straitjacketed with climate engineering operations. Yeah. Nothing can take this in the environment. Nothing in the ecosystem can take these kind of whiplash scenarios. Denver Airport went from 51 degrees above to 24 below in a matter of hours. That was a record swing even for Denver, which is saying a lot because they've conducted these operations over Denver for a long, long time. And Jeff, you probably heard people say, oh, that's Denver. That happens there, right? You may have heard that.
Oh, of course.
And I would point out to those people, these operations have been going on for 75 years. So unless they're older than that and they've seen it happen then and the records don't bear mm-hmm. that out, then mm-hmm. there's no chance that they can consider that normal when these operations have been going on for so long. It's just getting worse, that's all.
The enormity of this storm, how did they actually pull it off? Did they line up? What technologically speaking, what are they using now, and how big was this operation? It seemed to be, the biggest one I remember.
And they certainly sensationalize it more than any other. First, I would hope your listeners might search Chinese scientists create artificial snowstorm. They can see that the Chinese government openly announced it before they did $2 billion worth of damage to Beijing. They don't talk about it anymore. Pop Science covered it, Popular Science, Fox News, MSNBC, all of them covered this. It's no secret. Obviously, our military is exponentially larger and exponentially more capable of doing this. So here's what they do, and this is not a new pattern. They high-pressure dome the west. They block the rain from California because we've been dry for the last month, other than a couple days ago. It's been very dry here again.
Yeah.
And that high-pressure dome spins clockwise in the northern hemisphere. So they block the rain from coming straight into the west. They spin it up and around that high-pressure dome, goes to Alaska. Alaska had a record wet November. They're chemically nucleating that moisture the whole way to cool it down. As it spins around that clockwise rotation, they have created a cold surface pool of air in Canada. That's where they talk about the Arctic blast. Well, it's cold surface air that they have, in essence, created. They push that south. They can manipulate surface wind patterns by manipulating mm-hmm. atmospheric pressure zones. You know that. And that's what ionosphere heaters do. That's what HARP does. And they can manipulate convection with the aerosol spraying as well. As they push that colder air south, they're pushing moisture because they need moisture for chemical ice nucleating operations. That's essential because the endothermic reacting chemical ice nucleating elements dry up much of that moisture. That's why Winter Storm Elliott did not
interesting.
You follow me? It didn't produce as much snow in many places as they said it would. So what was their final fallback? Push the winds across the Great Lakes, the record warm Great Lakes, push the wind across the record warm Great Lakes and pile it up in Buffalo again. And that's exactly what they did. They needed something super sensational for deep snow and catastrophic impact. The storm diminished too much in many areas because of the degree of spraying they did to cool down the surface. They lost a lot of moisture, and much of that moisture, again, yet again, pushed up from the record warm Gulf of Mexico, combined with this cool pool they pushed south, and there's an ice storm transition zone between the two where the chemical nucleating elements are hitting the surface before they set up and freeze. And you think people would wonder, so often snow doesn't have anything to do with elevation anymore. In so many instances, it's just you're either on the, quote, warm side of the winter storm or the, quote, cold side of the winter storm. How incredibly ridiculous is that? And people don't even question it. It's becoming truly science fiction.
People can't even point out to where their kidneys are, Dane. Most people don't know where their kidneys are. They don't know where their brain stem is. We just talked about that last hour. People are just tragically not... They're just dumbed down. They've been dumbed down, and this is not their fault. I don't blame them. They've been put through a machine that literally picks their brain up like a sponge and wrings out the IQ quotient. It's gone. They say that we've lost 7 points each generation for the last two generations. That's 14 points. If you have a 95 to 100 IQ, that pushes you down to 80. Right? 85? That's 14 points. You are. And this is part of the problem. It's not a joke. These people have been literally drained of intelligence, and certainly disarmed. They haven't been given any knowledge, not that they know what to do with it anymore, but it's crazy. Okay. The explanation was really perfect. Thank you for that. That really helps a lot. I wonder where they got the moisture, and they suck it up from the Gulf. I get that. Are they using...
Yeah. And the record warm Atlantic as well. And this is why, again, you have a moisture stream that actually, near the latter part of the storm, as it neared the East Coast, they push a stream of moisture. It's a very linear stream that runs from the Gulf, across Florida, up the eastern seaboard, and back in by New York. And so the Atlantic is still record warm as well. And that's why you see the climate engineering cover-up actors on the Weather Channel, these paid deception actors, trying to explain away, we don't really know where the rain-snow line's going to be. There's warm water coming off the Atlantic. It's going to change over to snow. You've heard that term, Jeff, right? Change over to snow. We hear it all the time now. And, and temperatures, sometimes 40 degrees, sometimes 45 degrees, it will start the chemical nucleation process. As it continues, the temperatures on the surface come down. But keep in mind, it's a shallow surface layer. This is not indicative of the atmospheric column going up very far. As you get, we're communicating with commercial trying pilots, by the way, that know this is going on. They're not a part of it, but they know their aircraft are being used. We're supplying the materials at geoengineeringwatch.org. They're leaving them in pilot lunchrooms and so forth, our printed materials.
Oh, but good.
What they're telling us is sometimes they are 1,000, 1,500 feet up off the deck. Temperatures go up 25, 30 degrees. That's alarming. We, as I think I've shared with you before, we're contacted by former military pilots that fly private Learjets, and it's happened to them twice. Off the Pacific Northwest coast, above 40,000 feet, it was so warm. It was about 40 to 45 degrees higher, hotter than it should be. That air was not dense enough because it was too warm. It was not dense enough to carry that aircraft. It went into a forced emergency autopilot descent.
And this is not a joke. Yes,
not a joke.
I sent you one or two pieces from a pilot that I know. And he completely corroborated that these temperature gradients are just crazy now at altitude. And yes, these planes no longer have lift. They can fall real quick.
They can. Again, the degree to which this is destroying the planet's life support systems cannot be overstated. All other causes and concerns will soon be moot if we don't deal with this. As you correctly stated earlier about the mRNA, this is culling, this is eugenics. And as we've talked about before, at any point in time, if the controllers feel they're not able to maintain this stranglehold on societal manipulation, they can alter that mix, perhaps with Marburg, Ebola, some sort of hemorrhagic fever scenario, you know, that Ebola mean dissolve your internal organs, hemorrhagic fever scenario. And if they do that, we're done overnight. So again, if we can't breathe without sucking in what they're spraying, that's obviously a massive problem. And the ecosystems on top of that, even aside from that, Jeff, if the forests are silent, you can turn over all the stones and rocks and logs you want. You will be lucky if you find a single insect. The birds are almost all gone except where we feed them. It's shocking here. And the fir trees, as you and I talked about off the air, the die-off of the fir trees in the Pacific Northwest, from me all the way to you and even above, they're all dying here where I'm at. They're all in various stages of death or dead already.
And I have three. Nope. These are ponderosas, though. They go, too. And they are.
Oh, they are.
Within, I'd say within 7 to 10 days, they went from little sporadic brown groups of pine needles here and there to absolutely straw dead from bottom to top. No green, not one green pine needle left. This is in 10 days. Might even be a little less. They're gone. They're just dead. They're firewood. And it's not beetles. Don't let anyone tell you, oh, it's the beetles. No, it's not the beetles. Not at all.
They're not the core causal factor. They're there once the tree reaches that point. But that's
the tree gets weak
the
and they jump in. But yes, these trees are being destroyed.
Exactly. Yeah, I didn't mean to single out just the firs. We're seeing everything across the board, even the hardwoods as well. For your listeners, so that they understand the effect of this toxic rain on soil microbiome and root systems, it's catastrophic. The trees stop nutrient uptake when they sense bioavailable aluminum, when the root system sense this. So the roots are dying back the same as the crowns are dying back. Jeff, have you seen a lot of the deciduous trees? They'll be scorched branches in the canopy, and the limbs are dying back. There's dead limbs sticking out of the top in different places. And same thing's happening with the root systems. Root systems are dying back. That's why there's so much tree fall. When winds blow through, you'll see so many uprooted trees now.
Oh, interesting. The roots have all died and rotted away. The trees are just standing up with about 20% of their original root structure still intact.
Yes.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. Now I know that. I do watch them die from the top down. And that's UVC, that's chemicals, that's a lot of things. They're just destroying the damn planet. And who are they? They don't belong on this planet. They don't belong here. Their whole philosophy and attitude about human life is completely contrary to ours. We neither Dane nor I or anyone talks about these people. These people are evil. They're flat out evil. They're not normal.
Absolutely to the core. There's no reasoning with someone who's that disconnected from any mortal anchor whatsoever. I would stress with all those listening that I know many have heard about this issue, and certainly you've done your best to try to expose it as well. I would ask them to consider that if we don't plug this biggest hole in the bottom of the boat and the boat goes down again, all of the causes become moot. And if people would wake up, if we can wake them up to what they can see so blatantly, and that's what gives this particular cause more capability.
Oh, it's totally, yes.
You can't put it in the rearview mirror. You can't. It's in front of your face every day. Once you wake up to it, you can't unsee it anymore. It's there. And if we could wake up enough to this issue, it would drag everything else to the surface with it. The gravity of what we face would become evident to all. And that effort will require all of us that are awake and aware, whatever a person's individual circumstances, all of us can do something. And we're encouraging everyone to arm yourself with credible data. We try to supply those links at geoengineeringwatch.org to be shared from our homepage. The dimming we posted, even we spent a tremendous amount of resource on that film with the testing we did, the atmospheric testing and so forth. But we posted it for free
phenomenal.
The moment it was done.
Yeah.
The moment it was done. Yeah. So, anyway, if we can, that's what's important about this issue, to share something credible and not just point at this guy and rant. People shut down, as you know. But it is starting to come to light. We're hearing from many more at Geoengineering Watch. We're hearing from many more of the non-choir, if you will.
Good.
And that's certainly who we need to reach.
You know, I was thinking the other day about, you said a few moments ago, turn over as many logs as you want. Look, turn over rocks. Go look. It is so damned quiet out now. And I'm talking about night. I was talking with someone named Dean, and that's why I mentioned Dean accidentally. But at night, it's the same thing. It's the quiet forest, but it's not even a forest. It's just outdoors. There's no noise. There are no insects. I'm talking about summertime, not necessarily now in December. Summertime. Even now, though, it is so deathly quiet out, it is eerie. You know there's something terribly wrong, and what's wrong is the insects are all gone. And when the insects are gone, the birds are gone. They go. They have to, or they're going to die. And many of them do die.
The whole food chain. They do. The whole food chain is breaking down. And the silence in the forest is deafening. This is my home. I live in the forest in the middle. I'm off-grid completely, for listeners that don't know. I live in the middle of a habitat preserve.
Well, you've got a beautiful, beautiful place. Yeah, it's gorgeous.
It's not what it was, Jeff. It absolutely breaks my heart to think what it was like only 20 years ago and what it's like now, and the dead trees everywhere and the silence. And there were so many birds here in years past that...
beautiful orioles, cardinals, these red cardinals I'd see occasionally. Just beautiful, beautiful birds.
Yes.
They're gone. They're just flat gone. Now, right now, Dane is out in the middle of the woods. He's out there. How quiet is it right now? I wish we could turn your phone volume up, but what are you hearing now?
You wouldn't hear anything. And there were so many birds here before at first light when, you know, nights I sleep in the forest.
It was a chorus, a symphony, every day.
Couldn't sleep past first light. Too many birds. Sound like the tiki room at Disneyland. I mean, there was just birds everywhere, and now there's nothing. And it's profound that people are going about their lives as if this is going to continue. And it's important people understand you can't just turn this off. It's not just going to bounce back when you have literally millions of years of circumstances that culminated for this particular window of time, even from a climate standpoint, the particular window of stability in the last 10,000 years is not seen anywhere else in the geologic history.
No.
People seem to think that there's just some sort of magic thermostat. You can decimate the planet all you want, and it's going to magically continue to support life, and that's just not the case.
No, we're talking about maybe in 500,000 years, a million years, things would come back to a reasonable state of what we call normal. Maybe if we were to stop all the destruction and somehow reverse the catastrophic destruction we have visited upon our own home. It's crazy. Hold on just a minute. We're talking with Dane Wigington, and he's out in the middle of nature where it is silent night for sure. Be right back. Hold on. Okay, welcome back. Talking with Dane out in the middle of Mother Nature. Very quiet Mother Nature. I stick my head out the window, maybe sliding glass door, once a night on average. There's nothing there, and it never ceases to amaze me. The only thing I can hear is distant auto traffic occasionally on Interstate 5, which is several miles away. That's all. There's nothing else. Nothing. And I don't know what this big wind and rain thing we had the other day was all about. Why did they throw that in? And they're talking now about, what are they calling it here? Hold on. An atmospheric river of moisture heading into the West Coast. What are they up to with this?
We see no storm organization that's in any way comparable to historical norms. What we see is drifting masses of sprayed out canopy.
Well
said. It's not an organized low-pressure circulation.
No.
Jeff, you know, what we used to see on satellite radar images was the very symmetrical low-pressure counterclockwise circulations coming in, some from the Gulf of Alaska. We don't see that anymore. We just see zonal flows of sprayed moisture.
I could describe this just like you. When I was a kid, I loved watching the satellite pictures of the storms coming from Kamchatka or out of the Gulf of Alaska. They'd be these perfect semicircles or full circle, counterclockwise. They'd move across the ocean. Sometimes they'd be three, four lined up in a row. Every other day, one would come in. And now what do we see? These just masses of, it looks like piles of dog crap on a sidewalk. Sorry, it's just, these are just big blobs. And
no organization at all.
None.
And you have this, the surface cool, like right now outside. Of course, we have a sprayed layer above us. They're nucleating the lead end to the AR, and I don't really know. That's atmospheric river, and it really doesn't qualify for that per se.
Right.
We had 2 days of wind warnings here with no wind. Never came. Never happened. And this cold surface layer feels like you walked into a meat locker. It's very different than a natural cold. And the flora can tell the difference, even though it feels very cold to us. For example, in the canyons here, the north side of my mountain, the canyons used to be, they're very deep, and they used to be frozen on the surface really from late October, early November to March.
Huh.
Not the case anymore. The berries don't even drop their leaves there. The deciduous berries don't drop their leaves. It's very different, and again, it's very.
Are you seeing deciduous chaos as well, vis-a-vis leaf drop? I had some trees that well, before this big wind the day before yesterday, we're still actually showing some green leaves. It's like there's chaos everywhere.
They're spraying defoliants. We're quite sure of that. And we're dealing with one of the largest ag institutions in the world. What we're seeing, and again, people should keep in mind that they were defoliating jungles in the 60s. How far have they come now? Right. Why would they do that, people ask? Because if the deciduous trees don't drop their leaves, people start to wonder what's wrong. So what do we see? After specific rains here, typically in November, we'll get a short series of rain. And after that, sometimes even only days after, we'll see the deciduous tree leaves and species like liquid amber, sycamore.
Yeah, yeah. My favorite. Exactly. That's the one I was talking about, liquid amber. Yep.
They'll die and hang on the tree until the wind blows them off. If you find a sheltered location, you can find trees that are fully foliated with stone-dead leaves all winter long. That is not nature. That's not the oxygen hormone.
No.
There's no question that they're spraying defoliants in the fall. We're absolutely positive of that. We literally have trees here fully foliated with dead leaves all winter long. So, again, when you have a KC-135 dumping 100 tons across the sky, and they can scatter it with frequency transmissions, and they get incredible coverage, and we see trees, even in Redding right now, if they're in a sheltered location and they didn't get enough precipitation actually on the crown itself, we still see fully green deciduous trees going into January, February. They didn't get a dose of defoliant because they were sheltered.
Yeah.
There's no question about what's going on. Absolutely no question at all. And the farmers, by the way, Jeff, this is to force those deciduous trees into dormancy as well. You have, with fruit trees especially, they have to have a lengthy period of dormancy or they will not produce fruit. And the farmers have been using that type of defoliant to force dormancy for a very long time already because it's not getting nearly cold enough to create the natural cyclical scenario that we had before. So, again, the degree to which the train is off the rails can't be overstated.
No.
And they're using the atmosphere for a physics lab at this point. They have no regard for the consequences. Why would they? We're about to hit the wall. The only thing they care about is maintaining their power until the brutal bitter end, Jeff. And that, I would argue, that draws very, very near. And I know this is all very overwhelming for people. They feel, well, why even try if it's that bad and we're that close?
Right.
And I would argue we try because why else are we here? And just because we've been trained and taught and programmed that if you can't be guaranteed a happy ending, don't bother. And that's truly a pathetic culture when that's the way you see things. And I would argue that it is incumbent upon us to do our best regardless of any guarantee or lack
absolutely.
Of it.
Absolutely. Yes, of course. Well, we owe it to the planet. All right, it's that simple. We owe it. And I'm looking at a northwest, the whole Pacific. I can see Japan off to the left. It's a weather satellite image. And all I see is this massive morass, a mess of moisture. There are no, how did you describe it?
It's called a zonal flow. I mean, it's where there's no organization whatsoever. It's just a
non-organizational. There's nothing there. No, it's just a big mass of moisture moving across. And I don't know. This is very, very discouraging to see this. But we won't quit. Here's how they write it. Go ahead.
This is where, again, to start feeling empowered. We're playing chess. We need to learn how to play well. And this is where a picture is worth a thousand words. That's why we offer the printed materials of geoengineering watches. We pass them on for less than our cost. Mm-hmm. We print in massive quantities so that we can, you know, pass our flyers, for example, that would cost you $2 or $3 to print one of our flyers in Kinko's 100-pound glossy two-sided paper.
They're gorgeous. Beautiful.
We pass on 100, and we put in everything we can in that USPS priority envelope, 100 of those, and a booklet and DVD. But if you pass on a picture, and it doesn't have to, we also, Jeff, have the PDFs on the site. If you want to print it yourself, that's absolutely great with us. It saves us money. But wherever you get the picture, or you share a link from your home computer for free, that's easy to do. Share links, share images. But sharing that image is worth a thousand words. Again, And if you share with those around you and you plant that seed and you start to wake them up and they join you in this battle, you don't, people then won't feel so unarmed and so alone.
Yeah. I know. I still have some remaining, a few, not many, but I put your beautiful documents in people's hands and I say, look, and they look at the pictures. And they kind of don't believe it. Most of them will actually look at them. I don't pick just anybody, but they'll look at them. And when it starts to register, you can see it and hear it in what they're saying. They say things like,
"Yes, you can."
Why would they do this? Why would they do this? All right. Well, that's the big. Here we are. They started this in the mid '80s. I don't know. The first one I saw was in the mid '80s, and they're still at it. And people are still asking this. Why are they doing this? And then the next question is, how are they doing this? So we have a lot of work to do yet. We're not going to get any help from the control media. Never happened. Just not going to happen. Get the dimming. I had the dimming up at the top of the homepage for, I don't know, it was 10 days or something. I wanted everyone to see it. I may put it back up. It's critically important. Send it around. And just challenge people to look at it. Challenge them. Tell me what you think. You could play games. You can say, hey, I looked at this thing. It's propaganda, mind control. I really need you to look at this and tell me what I'm seeing. Whatever. However you have to do it. Because when they look at it, they can't go back. You can't unsee this stuff, as you said. Can't do it.
When you see Air Force generals, which we have two in the dimming, and so you're
yes.
Sure, the dimming refers to the scenario called scientifically global dimming. That is, from the particulate matter in the sky that is blocking direct sunlight creates a global dimming scenario. That's the title of the film. But two U.S. Air Force generals in that film, former U.S. presidential cabinet members, former Canadian Minister of Defense,
yep.
And many, many more, former government scientists. So it's pretty hard to just blow that off. And the data we present there is absolutely inarguable, absolutely scientifically inarguable. And sometimes just to strike up that conversation is the first key to the door, if you will. We had a lot of people asking us for Geoengineering Watch T-shirts and hoodies, and we put a lot of effort into that when we decided to do it with four-color images, really, really high-quality images, and so it doesn't look like some hokey iron-on thing, you know.
And
we have those a lot, too, and those are conversation starters, you know, and it's hard for us. We don't... that's not what we wanted to do here, or it's, again, we don't have any real revenue coming from that at all. It's just, but it's helping to, when you're in Costco or Walmart and people say, hey, what's, you know, because I wear my Geoengineering Watch shirt when I go to town, and they ask about it. What is that? You know, the light bulb goes on, and I keep, you know, booklets or our cards with us. We have little business card size that are scannable. It goes right to the dimming. But then it's really easy. You don't have to spend any time. You don't have to start explaining things that you might not be that familiar with when you can just say, hey, here, look. And when people see a satellite image that it is so shocking, as you've seen before, you don't need to know anything about meteorology to know something is really wrong. And then, you know, you've planted a seed without spending a lot of time, breath, and energy. And so we've tried to help arm people, and back to people not feeling so disempowered. When you enter a battle, and you're certainly in a battle, if you're well armed, metaphorically, with materials that help wake others up.
Write and get some of these documents. Keep them in the car. They're fascinating, and they are so beautifully produced.
And they can,
Dane
they
is
make
selling them.
Of reports.
Yeah.
And articles too. I mean, they can, you know, whatever works. But I'm just saying, you know, it's if you have something to pass on, it definitely is a better key to the door than just pointing at the sky and ranting. It just, you know, that shuts people down.
The images you've picked are so compelling that I've never seen one person yet not look at this and take it with them. They didn't go to the trash can. They could not put it down. They wanted to learn what they were seeing, and they
about those
right
images.
There.
Some of the images we capture off the NASA data feeds, and they are gone now. We have them. The moment we find them, the moment we identify, you know, something that's shocking atmospherically that happened that is, at least for the moment, on the current satellite feed, we capture it right then. And we go back to the archives where that should be, and they're gone. NASA has people scrubbing those off their archives absolutely, positively. But yeah. Again, we are always on the hunt for them. We capture them as soon as we see them. Just like we captured Jeff, you know, back to the nucleating events. You remember the 100,000 cattle that died in 2013 with the freak snowstorm in South Dakota?
Yep.
100,000 cattle died October 4th, 2013. Cold, hardy cattle, South Dakota, started snowing at 40 degrees at the same time. And these maps, what led me to the subject, these maps are also gone now. They scrubbed them offline within days after this event. But we captured them at geoengineeringwatch.org. It's on a number of our posts. It's in the dimming. It was 85 degrees and raining in Chicago. It was 89 degrees and raining in Kansas City. How in the world could you possibly have, at the exact same time, a freak snowstorm that kills 100,000 cattle stone throw away in South Dakota? And days later, the cows are all sitting around in the mud, dead. Mm-hmm. And what's profound is I contact the Ranchers Association there, and I very carefully tried to say, hey, you know, we think we have data about climate engineering that you might want to look at. And it was like I told them the aliens did it. I mean, total mental shutdown. Huh. Didn't want to hear a thing. Didn't mm-hmm. want data. I wouldn't even listen to very hard stats, statistics, and it's shocking to us. And we wonder what, with some of these organizations, what backdoor subsidies might be going on in certain cases, like the insurance industry, who we've contacted as well. Why wouldn't the insurance industry want to know if this is going on? Because it's costing them a fortune. Mm-hmm. And we believe that there are subsidies going on at every level, backdoor keeping these industries afloat and quiet.
Got
and
it.
I have a friend at Caterpillar high up, and he's told me that is exactly the case with them, that they are being kept afloat with backdoor money from printed central bank sources. And it makes sense, Jeff. They're trying to keep this paradigm looking legitimate until the last possible moment.
Wow. It's all true. Everything Dane has said is critically important. And I hope you'll go there and look. Can they get the hoodies and so forth easily? You got a shop there on the homepage.
It's
you can direct people to.
Just go to the homepage, and it's they're right there under the materials section. Yeah, how to start a conversation on this issue and wake people up. And we've put a lot of time and effort into this. And again, we've kept our cost down and absorbed as much as we can on the printed materials, especially we're in the red, but as long as they go out, as long as we're not losing much, we're all for it. And we're almost out of time, Jeff. I know you know that. And people think, they hear that, and they might think, what, we got to 2050, 2040? No, no.
Oh, no.
Personally be surprised. I will be surprised, but I would, if we reach the end of 2023 with this paradigm still intact, I will be surprised. Because the moment the public senses the gravity of what's unfolding, the moment before the herd panics, the controllers will play way bigger cards than they've already played. And you know, and I know.
Oh, they've got them. Oh, they've got them. They've got them on the shelf.
They do.
Oh, yeah.
They do.
Just lined up.
So that's a big variable that can happen overnight. There's many factors already past the breaking point, and at this juncture, on any given day, they might play very big cards. So we will see. And they're openly discussing, Jeff, I know you know this, they're openly discussing the benefit of a nuclear exchange for putting enough particles into the atmosphere to slow the warming of the planet.
This is hard to believe, but Dane is right. They're trying to spin pure evil into something that it isn't. It's evil. It's astonishing. That's all I can say. I've run out of words. It's astonishing.
We live in a planetary asylum, and if there's any nuclear exchange at all, we're done. We're done.
No, it can't. No. No more. Now, this Elliot went all the way down to the Gulf. Terrible hard freeze temperatures. They're now saying that a number of refineries will not be able to reopen for a couple of weeks because of the damage they suffered. So remember, all of these things, whatever they may be, that interrupt the normal flow of commerce and supply and food, and we're headed toward a famine, make no mistake about it. It's all being done by design. It's not it's a plan. Go ahead.
It's on top of the damage already done, and you're correct. We do definitely see targeting of agricultural regions by climate engineering operations. There's no question about that. What's important for people to understand, too, it's not a this or that equation, but there is very real damage done from countless forms of human activity as well. We treated the planet with unimaginable contempt, but we definitely see, just like the food processing plants that have burnt down, we absolutely see agricultural regions being targeted with deluge, drought, catastrophic hail at the key, at certain key times of harvest. There's no question they're targeting ag regions as well. And this is, again, where the gravity of what's unfolding needs to be understood. Going about one's life as if nothing's wrong is not going to be an option for much longer. And back to the, you know, sharing and waking people up, and the equation that I know you know as well, Jeff, if someone passes credible data on to two people on the first day of a 30-day month, and those two to two each on the second day, and so on for 30 days, that's 5.5 million. That's an equation that's easy to carry out. And it sounds like my math is wrong. It's not wrong. Mm-hmm. It's an exponential equation. If we can just pass that data forward, and as people, even if they're not initially that receptive, the lights will start to go on as they see certain events happen around them. If you just plant the seed and move on.
Right. Very good. I just got an email from my jet pilot friend. He said, in the east, all of the ash trees are dead. On our property, all of the ash trees have died. So this is a catastrophe. It's beyond, we don't have words for it. These trees are dying. Go ahead.
It's happening in England. It's happening everywhere. Tasmania, yeah. Australia. And on the freeze, too, that just happened in Texas, and the freeze went down to the Texas-Mexico border at the same time that hard freeze was there. It was raining in parts of Canada, and people don't connect that.
See, they can't. All right, one more time. Real quiet, what do you hear? In the dark of night, in the woods, in the forest, what do you hear?
I'm literally out in it right now, Jeff. In the middle of nowhere here, there's no sounds, nothing. The only sound you hear is jets going over. I do hear that, and they come in waves, mm-hmm. and they're definitely spraying. I can see it in the moonlight. I hear that right now. That has nothing to do with solar radiation management. That's winter weather. That's weather warfare, period.
Yes, you got it against us.
You're on the jet right now as we speak.
Wow. Thank you. I hope you got a nice warm jacket on. You care.
I'm good.
All right. Okay, my friend. Thanks for being
Jeff,
here.
Jeff, be safe.
Okay,
brother.
Thanks, Dane. Okay, good night. Dane Wigington, geoengineeringwatch.org, and doing the most vital work imaginable in terms of trying to wake people up about this planet and how it's being just slaughtered. Okay, so are we. Back with you tomorrow. Take care.